Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and super thankful that you chose to join us this week coming out of Easter weekend. Good Friday and Easter Sunday seemed like just a really, really powerful weekend. Just grateful for what the Lord has done, what I believe He will continue to do. This Sunday, looking at the Easter message, I talked through the implications of the resurrection. I think it's easy to look at the resurrection as a moment in time without understanding or maybe seeing the spiritual impact it has in our everyday lives. And so we spent time in Genesis chapter 3 looking at the different curses that come in from sin. And I certainly am not exhaustive in this, but I'll go ahead and read Genesis 3, beginning in verse 8, and we'll work through things. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom you gave me, gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then God said to the woman, 'What is this? What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" I think we see at least four consequences of sin there. And it's critical to be reminded that prior to this point, when God created everything, He made it good. There was no deceit, there was no brokenness, no pain, no tears. It was good. And so then, just in these verses, four different consequences for sin. Sin causes us to hide from God. That's what we see Adam and Eve do. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves." We so often choose to hide from God. And the way we do that, well, it looks, you know, differently maybe for all of us, but we maybe hide ourselves from God in the form of addictions. We try and just avoid thinking about Him. Maybe we pursue other religions or pursue other spiritual practices because we're looking for some kind of safety, but we don't want God to be that safety. The next sort of fracture that sin creates is sin causes us to try and cover our shame. What we see with Adam and Eve is they intentionally cover themselves with fig leaves because they realize they're naked and they're ashamed of that. And that's what sin does, causes us to try and cover our own shame. And in this, that can manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Oftentimes we try and cover our shame, our guilt, by trying to do good works. Maybe we serve really well, but the serving isn't an expression of genuine worship. It's a means or a mechanism through which to try and cover our shame that we're navigating. Maybe one way in which we try and cover our shame is by trying to cause ourselves not to feel the shame, by pursuing substances or pleasure. If I can feel, you know, nothing, then I won't feel shame. And so that's what sin causes. And then we see that sin causes relational fracture. The moment Adam is confronted by God, he says, "Well, you gave me this woman to be with, and you know, she's the one who caused me to sin." And I imagine that's the moment the deadly marital eye roll was introduced into the equation. All right, sin causes relational fracture, and Eve, you know, points the finger at Satan, and Adam points it at Eve, and Adam really points it at God as well. And you know, of course, we have so much relational tension, so much relational friction, and ultimately, we know that sin causes death. We know that the serpent goes to Eve, and says, "Surely you won't die if you disobey God's command." But in the moment Eve bit that apple, and in the moment Adam was there as well and partook, they spiritually died. And yet, to them, they had to be looking around thinking, "Oh, God was wrong. I'm still alive." They don't even know what death is, but they still have consciousness. They're still existing. And yet what we clearly see is the story unfolds throughout the rest of the scriptures is that sin absolutely causes physical death and, of course, spiritual death. And so why then does all of this matter? What is the impact then of the resurrection in connection with these things? Well, sin causes us to hide from God. The resurrection means we can access God. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Excuse me, that's Hebrews. They can approach God's throne with confidence. Romans 5, 2 says that we now have access to God. We can approach God because of Jesus. Where in sin we hide from God, because of Jesus, we can boldly walk into his presence. We can access God. Second thing, sin causes us to cover our shame, and the resurrection means that our shame has been covered by Jesus. Romans 4, 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We don't have to fill ourselves with all sorts of different things to try and cover our shame. Jesus covers our sins. Sin causes relational fracture. The resurrection means that we can forgive because we've been forgiven. The scriptures say in Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. We're able to navigate relationships because we ultimately are rooted and grounded in the security of our relationship with Christ. And then we see sin causes death. The resurrection means that death has been defeated. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. I was reading one of my favorite pastors, Tim Keller, on this subject, and he was processing his cancer diagnosis. He passed away now a couple of years ago, and he says, if Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead, then everything is going to be all right. Whatever you're worried about right now, whatever you're afraid of, everything is actually going to be okay. Coming from a man facing death. And so, how then do we apply that day to day in our lives? We need to apply the resurrection power in our lives today. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. God gives us life. We no longer have to be stuck in the consequences of sin and hiding in shame and fracture and death. The resurrection proves that there is another way, and that way is ultimately found in Christ. And so today we need to live in that resurrection power. We have to put off the old self, put on the new self given to us in Christ. And how are we going to respond to that today? Maybe you have relational friction going on. Respond to the Lord in that. Perhaps you have shame. See how Jesus has covered your shame and live in and out of your relationship with him. With that in mind, I want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. And I want to spend some time in prayer. I'll kick us off and then give you some time to pray and reflect on these verses and these points this morning. Father, thank you for your word, that it leads us and guides us and challenges us. Help us live in the resurrection power given to us by Christ, fueled and by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.